Call
I'd
the
now call the order to order the regularly scheduled meeting of the Board of Trustees of John Adams Academy at 4:40. Roll call.
Dean Foreman,
Yes.
Roy Bratz,
Yes.
Aaron McCoy,
Yes.
and Kevin Brandon.
Yes.
Thank you.
For this regularly scheduled meeting, there are three closed session agenda items as outlined in the agenda: student expulsions, a conference with legal counsel regarding existing litigation, and real property negotiations. We'll now take public comment on these agendized closed session items. Each speaker will have up to 2 minutes to speak to these items. If not, we will move into the closed session. Are there any closed session comments speaking to these items? Thank you. Seeing no further comments, the board will now recess to closed session for the regular meeting.
All right. The board is reporting out of our closed session meeting. We unanimously voted to approve the panel's recommendation to expel and to adopt the recommended findings of fact on the expulsion matter for El Dorado Hills campus. The board voted to not expel on the expulsion matter for Lincoln with direction to rehabilitate. The vote was 3-4. Dean Foreman, Roy Bratz, Kevin Brandon, yes, and one against, Aaron McCoy, no. No other reportable action was taken. This time we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order to begin with the pledge. If all would rise with me and flags in the back there. Salute, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Dean Foreman.
Yes.
Roy Bratz.
Yes.
Aaron McCoy.
Yes.
Kevin Brandon.
Yes.
Thank you.
Great. We're now at the time in the meeting where the board will take public comment. That is where you can speak to items that are not on the agenda. So there's two types of cards you should fill out. If you're speaking to something that is on the agenda, it's one color or form. If it's not on the agenda, that's this time right now, and it's this blue form, just so you know. The board allows 3 minutes. We'll be keeping track of the time, and please be brief if you can. And we appreciate you being here. Actually, I misspoke. This is 2 minutes on the non-agenda items. 2 minutes. Yeah, so it's 2 minutes. And we'll begin with Dan McGarr.
Mr. Foreman, we have a presentation. Is it okay if we share that presentation from Dan?
Oh, is that what? I don't understand the question.
He's here and he sent a presentation as well. So it's still going to come within the 2 minutes.
Okay.
So is it okay if we do the presentation on the screen?
Yeah. I will this time. We probably ought to look just for next time. Just I want to make sure we're not out of order in terms of just what we can be doing in terms of having full-blown presentations for something that's not on the agenda. I don't know if we can really do that per se, but I think as far as I'm concerned, the board chair will, unless I have an objection from other board members, we'll go ahead and do that. We'll go ahead and begin. And Dan, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I just wanted to talk really briefly about Trailblazers. Here at Roosevelt Elementary, the fifth and sixth grade team have launched a student leadership program, the Leadership Council. You can move to that next slide. Called Trailblazers, and it's about young leaders with courageous ideas. And so we just wanted to share a little bit about how we started. We were inspired by Alexander Hamilton, just his legacy of being a founding father who was not only a visionary nation builder, a servant leader, but he was also young and ambitious, bold, and he believed in the power of big ideas. And that's really what these scholars are about, is about promoting these big ideas. And so the purpose of Trailblazers is to be a leadership and service-based organization of students who are, that's designed for fifth and sixth grade students to grow as competent speakers, communicators, critical thinkers, change makers, scholars who feel like they have the power and the voice to have a significant impact on their school, on their community, on their families. And so we've been really excited about what we've done, what we continue to do, and have a lot of amazing things planned, including a legacy project for this year, where they will do an act of service that will live on past them being here in the elementary school, but where they could share their hearts or what they believe here in John Adams Academy. And we're really thrilled for the future of these scholars and how they're going to impact the school and their community. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the initiative to do that. If there's one thing that we want to encourage, it's initiative. Bravo. Thank you. And the board appreciates that, especially in light of legacy projects and servant leadership. And thank you for taking the lead to teach them what leadership is about. Next is we have. Okay. Is it Nina Carsey Sevilla?
Ina.
Oh my goodness. And don't you look nice today? You know what? You can stand right in the front end. Yeah. Nice. Looks so good today. Thank you for being here.
Hello, my name is Nina, and I am in fourth grade with Mrs. Pitsbear and Mr. Bassa, and I am in JAA online, and I recite my country to the big sweet land of liberty of the icing, land where my father's died, land of the pilgrim's pride, walk of the mountainside, let freedom win. My native country, the land of the noble free, thy name I love. I love thy rocks and woods, thy woods and temples, as my heart with options like that above. Let music swell the woods and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom song. Let mortal tongues away, let all that breathe partake. Let rocks the silence with the sound toll off.
Stellar. What the? Really
the
good.
Cutest scholar. I really love my own kids, but I'd give any one of them. That's the best, the cutest scholar ever.
Way to go. So good. Hey, you know what? The rhythm and the symmetry and the harmony of everything in that, you didn't even have to sing it because the words just spoke for themselves. Way to go. Bravo. Yeah, that's an A+ right there. Okay. Let's see. Dave Anthony Seville. There's a Sevilla.
Seville.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Dave Anthony Sevilla. I am sixth grade in JAA online. My teachers are Miss Tays, Miss Lemon, and Miss Armstrong. And today I'm going to tell you why I think John Adams Online is really the best online school there is. So first of all, we know that we have 10 core values, and our teachers are here every single day to help us exhibit those 10 core values, and we're able to be servant leaders, which basically means we are helpful and we lead others to help others. And so it creates a positive feedback loop. So we help others, basically. I'm sorry. It spreads positiveness in the world, and it makes the world a better place. And second, I think that we, from other schools I've been to, we haven't had as much virtue as John Adams Academy. And from other online schools, it was clear that my fellow scholars did not exactly participate and did not engage in active learning. But here in John Adams, our teachers push us every day to help us learn and be the best versions of ourselves.
Again, is this all the same family that we're hearing from? That kid made me think, you know, I wish we didn't have these child labor laws. You're hired.
Yeah. Way to go. All right. Next, we have Alexander Ethan Sevilla.
Loves to play with me and happy enough. Daddy likes also to observe with me. Mommy likes to help us with school.
All right, good morning. Well done. Okay. Thank you, John Adams Academy Online. A plus is all the way around there. Thank you much. And by the way, I noticed you taking some video of that. I don't know if you would mind giving permission, but we'd like to have that video.
For sure. Yes, sir.
So if you would talk to one of these ladies right here afterwards, and we'll make sure we get that, because that's something we want to share out with others. All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's see. Next. We have the thought of the day.
I think that's me. I read something recently and I thought it might be good to share. I'll read the last sentence of this and then I'll read the entire thing. But the last sentence is, the good news is that we have the option to be responsible for far more than we imagined. So that's probably my favorite line for this, is that we have the option to be responsible for far more than we might imagine. And the entire thing reads, it was titled "To Be in Charge." Every system will let the super, super cute family. Wowzer. It was like a Gap commercial there. So I guess to be in charge. Every system, every bureaucracy, and every organization creates boundaries. Sooner or later, we say, I'd love to fix this, but I'm not in charge of that. Perhaps, though, We've been conditioned to say this even when it's not true, because being in charge means being responsible, and we may have learned that being on the hook is uncomfortable. And so sooner or later, no one is in charge. And this gives a couple examples. I'm not sure how long ago this was written, and I think we might actually use ADP for our payroll, but this little article uses them as a, says ADP does payroll for millions of people. Pretty much all they do is create forms and have people fill them out. The forms were used, the forms they used are from 1991. They're digitally unfriendly and poorly designed. Someone somewhere at ADP is probably in charge of this, but they're still, the way they are, because it's challenging to call enough meetings and take enough apparent risk to actually fix them. Then he says, my bank uses a lot of security theater in the way they engage with people online, needless hoops or obvious holes in their systems. Again, my guess is there's somebody probably in charge here, but they're not acting as if they are. But it's not just giant organizations. It's the little park down the street, the little park down the street from you that has no one takes time to clean, or the missing stop sign that no one agitated to have replaced. And then back to the last sentence again. The good news is that we have the option to be responsible for far more than we can imagine. And I just think that's true. I think, with freedom comes responsibility. I think, and the more responsibility we take, the more that we can be effective, right? The more responsibility we take, the more effective we will be, rather than doing what it was talking about. You know, so often, you know, you'll hear that I'd love to fix this, but I'm not in charge of that. And, I've used that excuse before. I'm guessing all of us have at some point or another. But in reading this, I kind of put myself on, you know, made me think about myself and how I can do better. And that's my thought for the day.
Thank you. Love that. Next is PSO update. If you received the PSO update, I wanted to just thank all of you for taking the time to do that. It was great to see information on the first responders in Lincoln, the senior trip to New York. A big shout out to Dr. Carrico and those that helped him put that together. The online Junto in the spirit of 76, it was amazing, some of the things there. And the student body president, he wrote a nice report. That's the first report I've ever got from a student body president, and it was the online school. It was stellar. We should have these student representatives here at this meeting when we get together. Specifically to talk about ideas and what they are doing. Something that's got positive impact, not something to say, well, I don't think we should do the uniform or this or that, but maybe I think we ought to have a student store and I want to be in charge of it. And I think we could do that and it'd help us raise money for our senior trip. And, you know, there's some things we could do. And it, I think that when we start to, you know, use that abundance mentality, especially for scholars, they might come up with some good ideas that way. Also, love the fact that on some of these reports, one of our leaders put the attendance and what their attendance was at. And thank you for that, because what we measure, we improve with. Thank you so much. Veterans Day is beginning tomorrow on El Dorado campus, and Monday we have 2 in the morning at Lincoln and Roseville in that order. And I would encourage you to attend that. It's arguably one of the greatest things that we have here. It is a tradition. It's a great tradition. And Monday is the Marine Corps birthday of 200 years. It was November 10th, 1775. So I I guess as I went through this, I was just grateful for all the good things happening, and thank you for taking the time to mention those issues so much. Next item is the we have the facilities update. There were three items in there.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. One thing I want to mention on the facilities update of Lincoln Campus bathroom project. I know in the previous meetings that we talked about, there were some delays. It was finally completed on October 23rd of a couple weeks ago. Some of the delays that caused it had to deal with a third party fire sprinkler firm that did the inspections along with the city as well. There's some minor corrective items that were found during those inspections, but eventually they were able to fix it and in operation.
Thank you. Does the board have any questions on any of those items that are happening? One item that I know is happening that I want to make sure that we have just a handle on making sure it's executed with fidelity is the sound system in El Dorado Hills.
Is there which one are we talking about? Whether the Reagan Center or the
which one is it, Bob? Well, there's one in the Reagan Center, and then there's also been improvements in the gymnasium as well. So those are the two
okay.
things.
So I would add those just as items to make sure that, you know, they're executed with fidelity, like I said, meaning we've had trouble in those big spaces because they're big boxes in having good acoustics. And so I want to make sure that if we're spending money, that those acoustics are, someone's actually done their homework and going to guarantee that it's going to be a vast improvement. That makes sense. So, but thank you for that. I'm hoping that we can get the boys' bathroom opened up out on the Lincoln campus. Part of it is not completely open, but the contractor told me he would have that remediated in the next few days. Thank you. All right, next is the leadership updates.
We have, I like to report on the accountability function, the Penance Recovery. Just, you know, Emily was going to give a report, but about 30 minutes ago, she was called unexpectedly. And I know she had more data than I can share, but I can go through the board packet items with you. In the board packet items, we have graphs for attendance of all schools. I am proud to report 6 out of 7 of those programs we have for the first 2 months of school through August, September, better attendance than we've had in the previous 3 years. Partly attributed to that is every single principal has goals in attendance this year. Every single principal has initiative set. Some of the new things that we're doing schools-wide is we have an automatic short-term independent study program, which I provided a slide for you in the board packet, which shows the process of how when a scholar is absent, there's an immediate communication home. And it basically says, if you want to participate, do 1, 2, 3. The family can then, it's approved, admin approve it. If it's approved, they can do the work at home and bring it in. So it just speeds up a lot of our independent study for those short-term independent studies. The other initiative that it's a new for us is attendance recovery days. We have different campuses that have implemented that in varying stages. I know our elementary in Lincoln, for instance, has establish time after school where scholars can attend to help make up time missed previously. And that's something that each campus is looking at how to implement. Anyway, we're happy with the results so far and continue to improve, but do you have any questions?
I do. So you said they're at various stages of development, and you may not have this information, but I think I'd like you to come back to the next meeting if you don't have it. I'd like to know how many have actually engaged in that attendance recovery with that icon that allows them to select one, two, or three.
Automatic one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe we have it in 5 out of 6 of our schools are active, and then we have one school that's in the middle of getting ready to put the green light.
I will say that I'm a little bit disappointed it wasn't ready, because we knew that attendance was really important to us. And I mentioned this over the summer, that summer is when we want to be ready. So we roll it out. We've got it all ready right on the spot, because we knew we needed to capture the attendance and those lost dollars. I would say that that is low-lying fruit. We've now spent a summer and 3 months of the school year. We don't have it in one school. So I'm like a bloodhound on this. I'm not letting it go. I want it done right away. Because it's easy money. And we've got to do this. We gave stewardship to get this done, and I expect it to be done. The board expects it to be done. This is a high priority, the highest priority. Same thing with recovery, attendance recovery. I'd like to know how many have done that. In other words, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to understand there's improvements, but have those improvements come from this, or have they come from better advertising and better engagement and communication with our community? You see what I'm saying? That's really the telltale sign, because you know, you can make all these whiz-bang things, and all they got to do is this. I'm thinking, well, if they don't do it, then they don't do it. So let's see what they're doing, what they're not doing.
Well, that's good. I do know that we have that information, and it's going to be shared as far as exactly how many hours we recruit from these specific programs.
I'll look forward to seeing that. Thank you. Next is the financial update. Is there anything I don't want to gloss over? Is there anything else you had on the leadership side of things? Okay, thank you. Next is the financial update. Does the board have any questions regarding the update they were given in the packet? One thing that I think, well, I'll let Travis just take 30 seconds. I don't think he needs a lot of time. You could maybe just talk about how we're trying to true up the revenue and expense challenges, you know, when you have irregular dates and things, and we're trying to true that up. And the reason it's important is because our leaders are trying to make decisions, right? So go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Dean. We're looking for an updated reporting, not a system, just an updated report for budget versus actuals to give school leaders better visibility to make decisions. So the current budget versus actual reports that we have some delay time on them. The way that we report revenues month to month is based on how we receive revenues. So the beginning months of the school year, the revenue coming in is much lower, and then it ramps up in months 3, 4, 5, and then beyond. We also have expenditures that are front loaded at the beginning of the school year that then kind of die out afterward. As a result, what we end up with is the bottom line numbers that we have for each campus and then the program-wide budget don't really reflect where we are in real time. And so making a decision on whether to backfill a position when somebody vacates a spot, or when we're looking to enhance programming that's going to have a fiscal impact, making that decision really requires us knowing where we are projected to end up for the year. We have a general sense of that right now in the current reporting. However, we're looking to enhance it so it's more of a real-time look at here's how we actually performed this month, and here's what that projection puts us on pace to do for the year. So we just make better, quicker decisions about whether or not to spend money on programs and things we have coming up. So the goal here would be over the next month to continue to work on this to get a report for principals that they can see a simplified, here's where the budget is for the last month and where we performed to budget. And then what does that look like for the budget going forward, but without, I guess, a time delay in revenue versus expenditures. So this report does not reflect that you have in the packet, but that's where we're looking to go so that we can have just, you know, simpler decision-making going on. And then as a side note, today is the 6th, and they are closing books for October today, which is an amazing thing.
That's a great improvement. Thank you. Thank you, team. Yeah. Thanks, Travis. Appreciate that. I just wanted to do that so the rest of the board was in the know on how things are changing and improving. One thing I might mention, you know, because you watch this Sevilla family, these little children come up. But how many of those things are happening on all of our campuses every day? And I'm thinking, you know what? December is a time when a lot of families might even want to change their kids and come here. If some of you, if I were an enterprising leader, I might want to grab some of that video footage, or maybe some from the Veterans Day or something else, and maybe from a few classes, and put that on a video and say, hey, if you haven't looked at John Adams Academy lately, you maybe should. Just a thought. And like what you're doing, you know, with this leadership council, you know, that's the sort of thing that, you know, you just don't see every day. So thank you. All right, Patriot Expedition Report.
Good evening, and I have something for each board member. This is an itinerary from our trip. Speak to that. So thank you. I'm here to provide a brief report on the 2025 senior trip, Patriot Expedition, which occurred last month, the 13th through the 18th of October. We visited Philadelphia, Gettysburg, and Valley Forge. This was our third year organizing this trip. It really serves as a capstone experience where our American classical leadership education really comes to life as a mission and model of John Adams Academy is in many ways tangible for the scholars. We had 80 scholars attend the trip this year from all three campuses and online, 36 from Roseville, 33 from El Dorado Hills, 9 from Lincoln, and 2 from online. We also had 8 John Adams Academy staff who served as chaperones, and 9 parents came as chaperones, also representing all three campuses and online. I have one picture I wanted to show, which is on the next slide. It's a little hard to tell. This is all of us, and we are standing in front of the National Constitution Center, and right over our shoulders in the background in the middle is Independence Hall, which is a very special place, as you may know. We partner, as many of you will know, on this trip with Founding Forward, previously the Freedoms Foundation, to make this experience available to our scholars. We also work with a travel agency, GL Travel, who helped organize our travel, our flights and buses. We had a very full trip. Just to give you an idea of some of the locations we visited, this is very general. Places like Washington's Crossing, where Washington crossed the Delaware on Christmas night, Gettysburg, Independence Hall, the Liberty Bell, the National Constitution Museum, the Museum of the American Revolution, the Union League, and of course, all the programming that they provide at the Founding Forward campus there at Valley Forge. The itineraries that I gave you go into a lot more detail about the things we did daily while we were there. I've been given 10 minutes, and so what I'd like to do is I want to show a very short video. It was actually two scholars from the Roosevelt campus who took the initiative and said they would like to make a video to kind of commemorate their experience. And then I have two scholars from El Dorado Hills and one who is here with us tonight from Lincoln, who I'll introduce and wanted to share very briefly, less than 2 minutes each, about their experience. That should cover our 10 minutes. And then there's some time for Q&A on each other. So enjoy the video.
Thank you.
Bravo.
Yeah, I want to thank Ella Trippi and Ethan Hansen who worked on that video. They did that independently on their own, and I thought they did a great job. So we asked a couple of scholars just to share a little bit about their experience. And I'll go to El Dorado Hills first because we have Ella Skye and Gavin McNett there. And so I think Mrs. McCoy will help there, but we'll let them share for just a moment too about their experience.
Yes. So, hello, my name is Ella Skye, and one of the biggest things that I took away from our senior trip this year was just the immense sacrifice that really went into founding America, and just really all the struggle that went into fighting for our cause. Reading especially The Real George Washington back in eighth grade, I think it was, I got a little glimpse of what the soldiers went through as they were marching across different fields and different things like that. And I always understood that there was a great level of sacrifice that went into all this, especially in the wars. And it always blew my mind. But the first day when we were at the Delaware Crossing, I was standing there in just my comfortable clothing, and there was a little slight breeze, and I was standing there, my leg was hurting, I was a little uncomfortable. But as I was talking and like, no, as I was standing there processing all of this, our tour guide was talking about how these soldiers had no clothes, no comfortable clothing. It was just a rags tied on their feet. They were leaving a trail of blood behind them as they were walking. And it was freezing cold, December, snowing. They had to keep their feet moving or else the water would freeze around their feet. And then it just hit me of like, it is, we are, like, I have so much gratitude now, and it totally shifted my mind. Just even coming every day to class about American government class and talking about the Constitution, it's just my eyes have been opened of like, yeah, these rights, the amount of effort and literally just sacrifice that went into this is just so great. And I'm so glad that I got to go there and experience that in person, really have that just aha moment of my eyes opening and realizing that, yeah, this is something that was real for people. And going forward, I'm going to keep that to heart, and I want to keep investing in that and never take that for granted.
Let me start talking to
that. Hi there. My name is Gavin. And something I really loved taking away from it is that I'm a very visual guy. So it was pretty cool going to Philadelphia and being able to like just imagine everything that we have been learning that was going on right in that moment. Like 100 years ago, and it was awesome. It was super cool to see Gettysburg, and I just like at one point we had some of us ran up where Pickett's charge took place, and after I got to the top of where they went, I kind of looked down and I just looked across the whole battlefield, and it was like, wow, there's people fighting right here. It was amazing. It was so eye opener. And then another cool thing was that I loved being able to experience things with the other campuses. Because we don't see each other a lot outside of like sports and stuff, so it was really cool to see like a non-competitive type from the other campuses, and got to do a little bonding moment. So that was another fun thing about it.
Thank you, Ella, again for those comments. And I have one more scholar speaker from the Lincoln campus. Nathan Sampson is here, so Nathan, if you want to share for a moment, go ahead.
So just emphasizing their two points, just going off of him, I think getting together three campuses was also amazing, you know, just meeting all the people, and even just at dances as well, like when there's three campuses, being able to gather with them is always awesome. And like the first person was saying, being able to have a greater appreciation for, you know, all that goes on and all that went on in the Revolutionary War and the Civil War and the Constitutional Center, like everything that those people did. Being able to experience it, being able to go there, to be present at that place, it truly just locks everything in that we've learned over these past couple of years at the school. And my favorite part, for sure, had to be the Union League. And I know that was the first time that we've done it. And being able to just see such an extraordinary building like that in the Union League was amazing. And the pieces that they have in there, like a piece of fabric of Lincoln's shirt when he was shot was crazy. And just all the things they have in their vault, I think is what they called it. And he being able to see, you know, things that were really there back then in the day, was able to just have a greater appreciation for our country and everything.
Well, thank you, Nathan, and scholars. Thank you for those testimonials.
Yes, thank you. And thanks to the board, to everyone who's involved in helping make this trip possible. It's literally months of work that go into the organization of this. And I'll be passing the baton as the trip lead. Myra Johnson from the Roseville campus will be carrying that on. I'll still help with the planning, but she'll be taking the lead on that. And so we'll be working through that months.
Thank you. Excellent work. And once again, I was thinking I would put some of this on the marketing piece too, because, you know, you stay at John Adams, looking forward to this, your senior year is a big deal. And like I said earlier, the scholars took up the initiative to maybe have a scholar store or something. They could have a natural fundraiser to make sure they can do that. All right. Any questions from the board? Oh, we'll keep moving then. The board announcements. Any announcements by the board? Okay. Move then to the consent agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aaron voted aye as well, so that's four votes affirmative. Next is discussion and action agenda items. Item A, discussion and approval of Spirit Squad enrichment program for secondary scholars, Eldorado Hills.
Eldorado Hills has had Spirit Squad in the past. They'd like, and the board has approved the Lyceum, they'd like to revive it. The Spirit Squad is meant to meet the Johnson County standards in dress and in cheer and promote scholar spirit in athletic and other events. There is a sample uniform in your packet of what they'd like to wear. And we recommend that the board approve Spirit Squad for Eldorado Hills.
I'm glad that they are doing that. I think having a drum line is a good one too, or anything like that that really can set you apart in these small contests. Sometimes I believe can influence the outcome in terms of how hard the scholars play. So thank you for taking the initiative. Any questions by the board? No? I'll entertain a motion then.
Make a motion to approve the Spirit Squad for Eldorado Hills.
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
That was approved 4-0. Next item is discussion and approval of secondary program, a spring 2026 play, An Ideal Husband by Oscar Wilde.
This is a proposal from Rose Bell. To play Oscar Wilde, famous tradition, has a lot of traditional pieces. You have a picture of Dorian Gray. You have just the thing about Horace being Ernest, and this particular play reveals how one can be caught in a lie and why that's a bad idea. This play is targeted to be presented in April, and by the secondary scholars of Roseville, and we recommend the board approve this play.
The one thing I noticed is there wasn't anything in there in terms of what we purchased or with these sorts of plays, you have to purchase a script and the rights to it and so forth.
Yes, it's a public domain, so there's no...
I just wondered if anybody had reviewed that as part of this recommendation.
Oh, thank you. We actually asked it's a play in the public domain, so there is no script purchase. There are no royalties that we need to pay.
But has anybody reviewed the script?
I have.
Okay.
Yeah. And I've got assurances from the drama teacher and Norman Gonzalez that there will be nothing inappropriate.
Okay.
I reviewed it as well, Gene. So I know that Troy was taking the lead with our drama teacher, and I also pressed pause until I could read the entire play and talk through it with her.
Okay.
And it is public domain, so we can make any alterations or changes that we
okay.
do
in All order right.
to make sure that it's appropriate.
So making sure that we have someone that has done that, so thank you both.
Yeah.
All right, do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve An Ideal Husband by Oscar Wilde for the secondary program in Roseville.
I'll second. Okay, a motion and a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Do that, carried 4-0. Next is discussion and approval of curriculum.
There's two requests here. One is an approval of high school curriculum for chemistry, biology, physics. The other is a request to implement a pilot for middle school science. Mm-hmm. I'll talk about the high school first. Before you, we have the curriculum outlaid for the three science classes scholars will take for graduation. I like the way Dr. Schultheis has organized it, where you see the textbook being used, the primary textbook. You also see with the classic readings, each course has some required classic readings or primary sources. And then there's a full list of supplemental readings that teachers can choose to draw on to help enrich their science understanding. Anyway, that's been built out for chemistry, biology, physics. Currently, all schools are using the textbooks that are being recommended, and teachers are familiar with it. There may be one campus somewhere that's using something different, but for the most part, everyone's using these texts. Next up, I know that this science committee would like to work on is actually building out a packet of readings so that it's easy to get to all the readings that are both listed here, and they'd like to continue to add primary source, you know, documents as they go forward. But we've got a really strong program that was being shared with you today.
Who's on that committee?
Shane here, by any chance? So I know Shane's on that. He's got science teachers from all three campuses and online, and some academic deans.
What's their plan in terms of for all the middle schools and rollout? And the high school, is this for rollout then in the fall of 2026?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the plan for the middle school?
So middle school currently, the board approved curriculum is to follow the core knowledge sequence through the eighth grade.
Yeah.
However, there's some weakness in that because core knowledge has their own written curriculum through the fifth grade, but six through eight, they basically adopt a freeware version of science. And then they supplemented it a little bit. Anyway, there's been some difficulties with it. No one's outright screaming saying they don't like it. It's a good program. The school that has implemented it as the furthest in implementation is El Dorado Hills. They've done a lot of good with it. The reports I've received from that is, however, there's a lot to it. It's disorganized, takes a lot of time for the teacher to prep. And we're relying on the teachers to really understand classical pedagogy because the core knowledge that in these grades is just a bunch of raw data, raw text, and then the teacher has to implement classical pedagogy their own. So here's what we'd like to pilot. Novare is a classical science curriculum. It already has the principles of historic philosophical development of the natural philosophies. It already has in there biographies of great scientists built in. These textbooks tell the story of science and its development. They are math intensive. It's going to ask our scholars to do more math in the science than what they're used to. I know Dr. Schultheis has read every single book, 6, 7, 8. He has a PhD in science. He's been on at least two different science journals. He says this is by far the strongest program he has seen, and with a classical element. So we're asking for the online program would like to implement it. They'd actually like to start ASAP, but with the full pilot starting in the fall. And I think we have a couple other campuses that would like to join that pilot as well try out this new curriculum. And well, the Novari curriculum goes 6 through 8.
And I wholeheartedly endorse this. I want to get us all on the same page sooner than later. And if we have consensus, like you're suggesting.
We don't for the middle school science. It's, we have for the high school, the middle school science, we don't have consensus. Yeah. So.
Well, they better find consensus. Because that train's going to leave the station. So they need to, we've been busting around with this now for over a year.
Well, let me say it this way too, Dean. The focus has been getting the high school curriculum done because we don't have that yet. There hasn't even been enough conversation yet for the middle school science. So that's something, as we start this pilot, if the board approves, that will become part of the conversation. We'll be able to bring in the middle school science teachers and make them really start looking at it.
When are we starting the middle school pilot? You said they wanted to start.
Officially would be fall of 2026. However, the online program would like to start implementing pieces of it right away. And Shane has met with those teachers and they're ready to do that.
Yeah. I think we need to have a plan for when the train's leaving the station. We've been going at this now for 15 years, but we got serious about it a couple of years ago. So it's time to get real serious about it. And we want consensus, but there comes a point when you can't sit and job on this. You gotta decide if this is the right program, which I know that this is a sound program. And if it's sound, and I do believe we have the right person to put this together, and he did have a committee, so let's figure it out. Let's get it going.
Yeah.
I don't want to drag our feet any longer.
Yeah. I 100% agree. We haven't had a middle school committee. We haven't had a middle school committee. We'll get it. And now that with this, we'll get that committee and they can look at it.
Yeah. I'd say they better look at it post haste because we've spent a lot of time and we have arguably put the best we know in charge of doing this. So now it's time to, you know, as the proverb says, put up or shut up. So, yeah. Okay. Well, come back to us if you will, as to who's on that committee and what the plan is so that we can have some sort of plan. I don't want to leave it nebulous. If we leave it nebulous, that just allows for people to drag their feet, throw up roadblocks, give sometimes less than, good questions. No one's done that. I'm not saying that, but sometimes there can be unusual roadblocks come up that just shouldn't be. So these are intelligent people. There's been a lot of work put into this. Let's get going. Let's have a plan and let's present that to the board. So tonight you're asking for an approval of this curriculum and the middle school pilot. And I get that. And what I'm asking you to come back with is a plan for the middle school. Yeah. All right. Do we have a motion?
To approve the high school?
And the middle school pilot.
Both. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion to discuss or to approve the curriculum for the high school and middle school pilot.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Erin is waiting to hear. Did you say
yes,
aye?
Aye. Sorry.
Okay.
Aye.
Thank you. Next is discussion and approval of gate proposal, El Dorado Hills.
Good
Good evening again. I'm going to shorten this down a bit because I know there'll be some questions. This is the Front Gate project proposal for Alvarado Hills campus. Project summary, the proposal presents a two-phase facilities improvement project aimed at enhanced security and controlled access at Don Adams Academy Alvarado Hills Elementary campus. This visit addresses critical perimeter vulnerabilities identified through ongoing safety evaluation and operational reviews. Project approach has been broken down into two phases. Phase one will begin with the physical installation of new security gates and fencing during Thanksgiving break and also prison break as well. This timeline may be affected by external forces not within our control. And with the initial phase one being concluded at by January 4th, 2026. Phase two will be scheduled for summer 2026 with implementation of automation and electrical integration to modernize campus entry systems and reduce manual gate operation. Upon completion, the product will be provided campus with increased safety for scholars, secure vehicle and pedestrian entry points, improved traffic control, compliance with emergency access standards, and long-term foundation for potential future technological upgrades such as key card system and or camera integration. The background of this, over the last academic year, multiple safety assessments conducted by facilities and safety teams identified gaps in perimeter control and emergency response accessibilities at the Hill campus. Current lack of gates creates a variety of challenges for the elementary campus and risks such as unsupervised, unauthorized entry during drop-off, pick-up, and after-hours periods, delayed response for emergency vehicles due to limited access coordination, inconsistent lockout capabilities, moving sections of the property not secured to outside vehicle or foot traffic 24 hours a day. Pedestrian safety hazard for vehicles and foot traffic share common entry zones. The new gate system will directly address the vulnerabilities by introducing structured active control, part of the integration, and automated value safeguards to reduce human error and improve response coordination. The proposal aligns with John Adams Academy's commitment to maintaining a safe and orderly and mission-driven learning environment, protecting scholars, staff, visitors, while ensuring full compliance with local fire and safety code. Phase one, that will be the gate fabrication and installation. Broken down, the estimated cost for that phase one will be $48,800. That timeline, as specified before, will take part during the Thanksgiving break and be completed by January 4th, 2026. Phase one immediately improves security by creating defined entry and exit points, restricting campus access to designated areas, reducing unauthorized entry risk. Installation of ADA pedestrian gates and knock spots ensure safety, compliant emergency egress while meeting California fire code standards. The phase also established the foundation for the future automated gate system, ensuring that when phase two is implemented, electrical and control systems can be seamlessly integrated into the existing gate infrastructure. Phase two is automation and electrical integration. That will be taken part down the proposed for summer 2026. The automation of that being cost estimation at $49,970 and electrical roughly around $39,000. Total of phase one and phase two with electrical roughly around $137,770. Phase two introduces automation, enabling time access control, remote monitoring, and rapid lockdown capabilities in an emergency situation. The system will also reduce the need for manual gate operation by staff by mechanizing the two gates closest to the building per EHF code, minimizing physical risk, improving efficiency, and ensuring consistent security practices across campus. The key safety improvements, control access prevents unauthorized vehicles or pedestrians from entering the campus. Enhanced fire access integrates NOx and OPCOM systems for emergency responders access. Traffic management separates vehicles and foot traffic zones, reducing the risk during drop-off and pickup times. After-hours security establishes a secure perimeter when the campus is closed. The automated lock-in capability allows rapid closure of gates and emergencies once automation is complete. And compliance assurances meets the requirements of the California Building Code and local fire authorities.
Yeah, so with regard to funding, the funding currently exists in the EDH Elementary Project Fund.
I'd like to point out too, Joseph Benson's been very much involved in getting this done. Kyle Armstrong, safety coordinator, as well as Principal Marzi Allen and her team. So it's been a group effort. This is, as we've discussed, been a bit of a long time in coming. Only thing I would add with the funding piece for the projects for the summer, particularly the electric, we will get some additional bids on that work. We wanted to get a sense of what that cost would be to bring that forward today, but there is potential for some cost savings on that that is yet to be determined.
Okay. Any questions by the board? All right, motion.
I'll make a motion to the gate proposal in Eldorado Hills.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. That carries 4-0. Any board initiated business? I do have one item of business. As we know, earlier this week, we had a scholar that took the life. And I wanted to just pause in this meeting and for a moment of silence and for the family and for what happened. And so we can hopefully be alert to the needs of those that are, there's always someone around us that we may need to just pause to take time to notice them a little more. And I want to thank all that's been done by the families here to recognize the trauma that this causes and try to reach out. So anyway, if we'll pause right now for a moment, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. I'd also like to thank our board chaplain, Tamara Bennett, and her team for having volunteered their time, and our counseling team and teachers and others. Again, thank you for being there and ready to give comfort and support.
Have we heard more, any more about memorial services or what that might look like? I
think so. If there's no other board initiated business, our next meeting will be on December 11th. And happy Thanksgiving to everyone. And I hope you enjoy your Thanksgiving and the lead into the holidays. And most importantly, maybe just time to give gratitude. There's a direct correlation between gratitude and happiness. And find a reason to express thanks. It'll never hurt you. Thank you all. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I will make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second the motion. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.